You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th. Friday, September 13th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, wrapping up your work week here at RadioAlbion.com. I thought we would just kind of do a weekly wrap-up. I don't have a specific story. I thought we'd just talk about some of the stuff that is in the news this week. As you know, I'm kind of big on using RT. I've always been kind of big on using RT as a source. And now that the government is moving towards making it an official, like, if you use RT, repeat RT, you could be a Russian foreign agent. I'm a little hesitant, even though you can still access it from the U.S. I'm a little hesitant to use it. They're not there yet, but that's clearly the direction they're going in. And you know me, I like to be ahead of the curve. I want to be ahead of the curve. I can see where they're going with it, so I'm kind of hesitant to use it. Anyway, I thought we'd just talk about some of the stuff has been going on. Some of the stuff they don't really talk about necessarily. You know, it always amazes me because, you know, I watch my 90 say your world in 90 seconds on the network news in the morning. And it's always funny because you read these other sources all worldwide so that you get an idea of what all is going on in the world. And the world is basically on fire. The economy is on the brink of collapse, so on and so forth. But yet, according to the network news, my world in 90 seconds basically consists of the weather and whatever the hell Taylor Swift is doing. Why am I supposed to care about those things? But according to them, that's all you need to know. That's all I need to know is the weather, Taylor Swift, and who won some music award, maybe, or some other celebrity gibberish. That's all you need to know. And yet you read other sources and you see all of this different stuff going on. I just can't imagine actually like watching mainstream network news in an attempt to be informed. How do you do that and convince yourself, delude yourself into believing that you are somehow informed? Because I watch the media. They're the official source of what's actually not disinformation. You know, don't want to get any of that disinformation. Don't want to get any, you got to have the fact checkers. Speaking of fact checking, one of the big things going on this past week, you know, we had the big debate. I didn't watch it. I don't know if y'all watched it. I didn't watch it. I watched the opening question of it and like, after that, just clips floating around on the internet after the fact. Because the opening question already, that, you know, and there's people going around talking about what a really just abomination this debate is. And Trump is now, I saw this morning where Trump is saying he's not going to do any more debates, which of course the media is going to frame in the context of that's because he got trounced by the ever popular Kamala. They're working so hard to try to build this idea that she has all this support. So like as they fake the election and do their fraud, it's somewhat believable. I don't know. I guess it's believable to people that watch network news. But now Trump says he's not going to do any more debates. And yeah, I can see why. People are going around complaining, you know, that this was a shit show. This debate was a mess. And I don't know why anybody's surprised with that. I mean, I watched the opening question. The opening question, Vice President Harris, one of the voters' top concerns, as if anybody's concerned with what the voters actually care about, one of the voters' top concerns is the economy.
Now, would you say that the economy is better or worse now after 4 years of the administration that you serve in? Something along that lines. Are people better off or worse off than they were 4 years ago? It's a very simple, straightforward question. Kamala went off into a tirade, She went off spazzing about, you know, oh, I've got a plan to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to. I got all kinds of brilliant ideas. You can tell she's a fountain of brilliance, just waiting to pour out. We've been deprived of her brilliance. She's got brilliant ideas and plans, and she's going to. And of course, unsurprisingly, you know, the media, and I'm sitting here watching. Like I said, this is the first question. This is all of it I watch, aside from clips after the fact. And I'm sitting there, and of course, the first thing I say, I'm sitting here is like, well, she obviously did not answer the question. I wonder if the media is going to press her on that and say, well, you didn't answer the question. The question is, do you think people are better off economically now than they were 4 years ago under President Trump? She didn't answer the question. And of course, unsurprisingly, the media did not press her for an answer. And so it goes to Trump. And you know, you would think, you know, I'm thinking, okay, let's see if Trump points out that she just didn't answer. All Trump had to do, because the question put forth was, are people better off in the economy now than they were 4 years ago? All Trump had to do was come back and say, well, you know, she didn't answer the question. Obviously, people are not better off. She doesn't want to answer the question. She says she's got all these plans. Well, then I say, what the hell have you been waiting on? I mean, you're just making everybody wait. We wouldn't be in this mess if you would have put these great plans in motion, say, 2 years ago. What have you been waiting on? That's all he had to do. But he didn't. Instead, he goes off on a tirade about immigration and stopping the immigrants. Like, that wasn't even the question. Of course, the moderators, they gave everyone a clue how this was going to go. Tut-tut, President Trump, we'll get to immigration later. It's like, well, why didn't he just point out? Who's advising this guy? Donald Trump, I even in his first term in president, I could not believe how this guy has such poor judgment on people that he surrounds himself with. You know, say what you want. You know, and I guess that might offend the Trump worshipers who have made like a cult out of this guy. But one of the things I found astounding from his first term in office was how bad this guy, how did this guy get rich? How did this guy get to be so successful when he obviously is really, really, really bad at picking people to surround himself with? I mean, the guy hired John Bolton at one point and then was shocked when he torpedoed his attempts at making peace with North Korea. I mean, how does he do that? Who's advising him now? And I think it's reflected. Who's advising him now? You know, they coach him. I think maybe he's taking advice from Nikki Haley or somebody like that, you know? Oh, just don't come off like you're attacking her. You don't win. Women will be alienated. Don't come off mean. All you had to do was point out she didn't answer the question. You notice she didn't answer. All y'all watching, y'all notice she didn't answer the question. She didn't. Because she knows the answer. She says she got all these plans, and I ask, why didn't she, you know, a debate means back and forth, by the way. He should have said, I got a question for you, Vice President Harris. If you got all these great plans that are going to make everybody's lives better, why have you been waiting on? Why are you making everybody wait and suffer through this horrible economy without enacting your brilliant plan? You know, and make her answer that. That's a debate, not That's all of it. I watched that. That's all I needed to know was going to be a shit show. And then people later complained, there was an absolute shit show. Apparently the moderators kept stopping Trump and fact-checking him on the scene. One of the takeaway lines they've been making hay with. Yeah, it amazes me, again, because the media thinks everybody's stupid. And I think maybe they're right. I don't know. Maybe people are really, really stupid. But one of the clips floating around is the whole thing, you know, they're eating the dogs. They're eating people's pets. We got to stop these immigrants. And they fact check him, apparently. Like I said, I watched the clips afterwards because the opening question was enough for me. I got other things I didn't do. I got top. Scratch that. I got mid-quality anime I could be watching. I don't need to watch this. I watched the opening question. You know, the Biden debate was interesting because the meds weren't enough. And when the media had been spending years fact-checking us all and telling us, you know, it's a conspiracy theory and misinformation that Biden obviously has dementia. And then to see it play out on TV and they just act like, well, we never said that. And the conspiracy theorists, they're just wrong. It doesn't matter. I seen this opening question. I don't need to watch any more of this. Anyway, one of the clips they're making hay with and the cringe late night comedians are making hay with, they're eating the dog. The media fact checks him. We spoke with the Democrat politician in this town, and they said they haven't seen any reports, even though people that live in the town have been on the internet saying this is going on. Once again, though, nobody asks the pertinent question. You know, is Trump unable to figure these things out? The question, why doesn't anybody ask the question, what the hell are Haitians doing in Ohio? That's a long way from Haiti. Who brought them here? And to what purpose? What are they bringing to the country? You roll the clip. Roll the clip. Let's see the clips of them wringing the necks of the geese at the park and walking down the street with them to cook them in a pot in somebody's backyard that doesn't want them there, but the police won't make them leave. And say, why are these people here? Who thought that it was a good idea to bring them here? Why are they here? Can somebody answer that? Vice President Harris, you've been a part of the administration. They came here while you were in office. Why? What are they bringing? What is the net positive of this form of diversity that we're getting? No, you don't get any of that. Again, they don't answer the relevant questions. The media says, well, we talked to the Democrat politician in that town, and they said they haven't seen any reports of any such thing. They haven't. You always look for the weasel words. We contacted a politician for this town. Wow, how did you know this was going to come up? Amazing. It's almost like the whole thing is scripted and staged. Watching these debates is like watching pro wrestling and not understanding the outcome is predetermined. You're supposed to watch it for the entertainment factor. World Wrestling Entertainment. This is WPE, World Political Entertainment. It's all just as scripted. They just magically knew. They just magically knew this was going to come up. So ahead of time, are ever on the case journalists. They contacted somebody in that town. Some government official who said they haven't. You always look for the weasel words. They said they haven't. They haven't seen. They didn't say it didn't happen. They said they haven't seen any reports. They may not be telling you they ain't looked at any reports in 2 weeks or something. You know, they say, even though, like I say, people in the town are posting all over social media this is going on, including video clips and personal stories. But you see, they don't count because the media says they don't count. This whole show hinges on everybody being a moron. This is the moron system of governance. It's a moron system of government. You've got to be stupid to continue to believe in it. And not everybody. I mean, there are a lot of people that are in denial. I was talking with somebody recently, a friendly conversation, you know, about, you know, Trump versus Harris and what a mess America's going to be in if Harris gets in there. You know, and I made a comment along the lines of this thing is done. You know, I'm sorry, I'm a truth teller. You know, I try to be polite. I'm not an asshole. I don't go around being, you know, rude to people or anything like that. I'm a nice guy. Very nice. Very nice. I'm the nicest guy you could meet. No, but, you know, and I said, this thing's done regardless. The Titanic has struck the iceberg and is listing hard. You know, this thing is going under. Trump is not going to go down there and patch the hole in the hole. It's over. Then the person I was speaking to said, so kind of muttered something about, you know, the lesser of two evils. Well, it's not that I think Trump is evil. 2016 Trump, honestly, I believe he had really good intentions. I think he was powerless in the face of those that run the government, the quote unquote deep state, if you would. You've got this army of unelected bureaucrats that are going to do whatever they want. Hell, they're apparently at certain points he gave as commander in chief, he gave orders to the military to do something. They just ignored him. What's he going to do? Now we got 2024 jaded Trump, and I don't really think he actually gives a shit. I don't know. But I do. I think 2016 Trump had good intentions. He just found out that the office of the president isn't nearly as powerful as what you think. I mean, look, Biden doesn't know if he's horseback or foot. He doesn't know where he's at. That's obvious. It's been demonstrated to the public. The media has so far not brought up the question of, if he's not mentally fit to run for re-election, how is he mentally fit to be running the presidency, to be the executive? And yet things just keep trucking right along. Who's making the decisions? Who's running it? Well, you got an army of unelected bureaucrats that just continue doing, they're doing what they were going to do anyway. Trump's not going to save America. Now, I did concede the point. I said, now granted, you know, I said, this ship's going down. As the difference is, if Kamala Harris is in there, she's probably going to have a gay pride parade on the deck of the ship as it dips under the water. You know, it'd be even more insane and ridiculous. But one should not have the hope that Trump is going to, quote unquote, save America, because that's just coping. You know, that's just, I don't know. I was thinking of it the other day, and I was thinking, like, a lot of people are going through, like, those stages of grief, you know. And I think we're at that stage for the regular normie conservatives, you know, bless their hearts, of being in denial, you know, being in denial that this is where we're at. You know, at some point in time, everybody, those of you listening to this, y'all probably like me, y'all already understand, you've hit the acceptance stage, you're just rocking on. But we have to be understanding. We have to understand those that are grieving. And they're in the denial stage, as somehow this isn't real. Somehow, I don't know, it's all going to get turned around. Some form of normalcy is going, you know, to transpire. I always think it's funny because they'll say, you know, they always act like things only happen in these little time increments, you know. And I'm getting older and, you know, I've got a lot more perspective time-wise. Definitely than what the media would have people believe, you know, and they try to, you know, Trump is up there talking about, you know, my presidency, the economy was the greatest economy ever, which it wasn't. That's stupid, you know, and they try to make this, are you better off now or were you better off under Trump? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, obviously, everybody's a lot worse off now than they were when Trump was in there, as far as, like, you know, economy, sanity, so on and so forth. But, you know, you keep going back. I think people were better off, generally speaking, under Obama. I think, aside from, you know, the negatives going on as far as, you know, our rights being taken away, but economically and so forth, I think the country was more sane and people were economically better off under George W. Bush. I think people were better off under Clinton than they were under George W. Bush. I think people were better off under H.W. Bush than they were under Clinton, so on and so forth. In other words, the trend they ignore is that things are progressively getting worse economically, culturally, socially. We're on a downward trend. Are we not supposed to notice this? Instead, they try to keep it confined to, was it better under Trump or better under Biden? Why don't we talk about how every single year things are progressively getting worse? I kind of wonder if, like, the quality of candidates that you're presented, that are hand-selected for you to choose from, is obviously and observably been getting worse over the years. And I think we're probably at the stage now. I posed the question, I think it was on my Tuesday show, I posed the question, why did they pick Harris? I mean, that is an absurd candidate. They could have picked the guy from California. Newsom, and it would have been more plausible for them to do their election fraud and put that guy in here. And I'm thinking, you know, we may be getting a more and more absurdly bad candidates because maybe these people do at least understand that this thing's going down and they don't want to take the blame. You know, who wants to be the official captain of the ship when it dips on underwater? You know, they don't want to be the one left holding the bed. It's like musical chairs in the economy of usury. And nobody wants to be the one left standing when the music stops. Maybe we're at the point nobody really actually in reality wants that damn job. Because they're just going to get blamed for everything. Maybe they should just let the senile old man stay in there. He's a perfect patsy. He wouldn't know if he was getting blamed. Wouldn't know if he's getting blamed. Wouldn't know if he was getting blamed anyway. Anyway. Now, other things. There's other things been going on. The word on the street. Word on the street right now is that the U.S. and the U.K., but mostly nobody cares about the U.K. The it's just a vassal state like all the rest of them. The U.S. is on the verge of authorizing the Ukraine to start firing long-range missiles into Russia. Remember, we started with this and, well, we can't provide tanks because that would be too much of an escalation. We just keep going up the ladder. And now, you know, they're saying they're going to authorize them to shoot these long-range missiles into Russia. This is a big problem because they ain't got nobody that can actually do that. So that means the U.S. or one of their vassal states will actually be doing it. Literally, they'll be sitting in Ukraine, firing them off, using the satellite trajectory that the U.S. owns and doing this and still somehow trying to claim it's actually the Ukrainians. Now, Putin has come out and said that this is yet another red line. And I'm sorry. I I'm not a shill. I just call them like I see them. The U.S. has blown through every one of Russia's red lines without any serious consequence. You know, I'm not saying that I don't understand the political ramifications of why they're making those decisions not to be goaded into escalation. But if that's the case, you should just be vague, you know, use some ambiguity. If you do this, then there will be consequences. You know, something vague. Don't come out, as the Russians have done, and repeatedly say, well, this is a red line for us. There's a red line. If you do this, this is a red line. Because they blow through the red lines and nothing happens. Nobody takes you serious anymore. You know? Don't sit there. Don't sit there on Saturday night at the honky-tonk and tell that old boy across the table, you know, if you mouth off me one more time, I'm going to whip your ass. And then he mouths off to you and you sit there and mumble to yourself because then nobody takes you serious. You know, if you say it, you do it. Now, Putin's saying this is yet another red line. This is going to mean NATO is directly involved in the conflict. But you see, he said that multiple times before. You get these clown world people pushing this, and they're not really smart anyway. But when you sit there and tell them, you know, there's been 6 million red lines so far, and you know, they've crossed them and you haven't done shit about it. How, you know, is this the one time? Hell, I don't know. Those people, and I'm smarter than they are, and I'm not bragging. I'm just an average guy, and I'm smarter than these idiots running the government. So I don't even know if that means anything. They sure as hell don't. How many red lines have been crossed? I mean, what does that even mean? Shouldn't even use the terminology. It's always a mistake. Because you don't give yourself option. Just say, there will be consequences. Well, you know, you can do whatever then and say, well, that was the consequence of that. You know, that was the consequence. You just, I don't know. You know, is that going to be the red line? You know, Russia going to start dropping hypersonics on London? I don't know. Probably not. Probably they're going to do this. And if the track record holds, I don't know. Russia will issue a strongly worded condemnation at the United Nations or some shit. I don't know. This is the problem in international politics with politicians. or you in your personal life. This is why I wish we had kings. We had strong kings running these countries. Monarchies. Because you know the king was at his word or not. You know, you've got these people. You know, just say it. You know, I said either give yourself, either be ambiguous and say there'll be consequences and then you can define those consequences later. So you leave yourself options. That's one way to go. Another way, if you were going to draw a red line, just say, well, if you do this, then we're going to bomb London. You know, just and straight up do it. Don't be a, do it. Of course, it shouldn't be to that point. They should have done that back then, you know, when they were talking about, oh, we're going to send, you know, we're going to send tanks or we're going to send, you know, these countries, these NATO countries are going to send equipment. You know, when they say Finland, friends, if they said Finland is going to send these F-16s, if Putin was a king, he could have said, if you send F-16s to Ukraine to use against us, we'll consider you a part of the war, and we're going to bomb your airfields. We're going to wipe them out. We are going to bomb you. And then if they sent the F-16s, you bomb their airfields. You wipe them out. And you tell them, if you do any more, you won't have a country anymore. Simple as. Article 5 is a bluff. I did a big thing talking about they're bluffing. Everyone knows. I talked about the Texas Hold'em thing. They're bluffing. NATO ain't going to do shit. They're not. Article 5 is no different. I mean, Article 5 of NATO, which means the U.S. is going to come fight for these European countries. Article 5 of the NATO thing is no different than when Great Britain told Poland, go ahead and tell Hitler to piss off. We've got your back. We'll totally come in and fight for you. And we know how that worked out. The Poles, shockingly, took the bait. They just took the bait. It's obvious bait, and they took it. Article 5 is bait for all of Europe. It can bomb. And then it wouldn't get to this point, because then everybody said, well, hell, if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And the next time they said, well, you know, Britain says, we're sending our Storm Shadow missiles for the Ukrainians to launch against Russia. And if Putin has said, then we're going to level every plant in Britain that where you make these things, and we're going to sink your ships that are anywhere within this parameter. That's going to be the consequence of that. Y'all make that decision, you know, instead of tippy-toeing around, and then do it. They ain't going to escalate because they can't. Unless they're going to start flailing nukes, but it wouldn't get to that point because you done nipped it in the bud. It's bold action. Either be ambiguous so that you can define what you do later, or just lay it out. If you do this, this is what we're going to do. And then nothing you can do to stop us. We're going to drop a bomb right in the middle of your city. And then when you do it, they're going to back off of that. They're going to be like, well, looks like the Soviet Union borders of the Ukraine aren't really that important. After all, we got to move on to the next thing. Instead, we do this. Putin says, this is going to be a red line. Y'all will be an active part of the conflict. Does that mean he's going to go ahead and fully mobilize and get ready for war? Or is this just going... Again, I don't know. And these idiots that are ostensibly in charge of the government, they don't know either. Look at Antony Blinken. Look at that Sullivan guy. Ain't these people look like they got a clue? No, they got no clue. You got all these European countries, their defense ministers are women. Hey, I'm a former school teacher and now I'm the defense minister. Oh yeah, they really are taking this seriously. I don't know. Yeah. All of it, the political sideshow and the escalations, you know, and I was talking at the beginning of the show of what they're doing with RT and the way they're moving in that direction. One of the things that drives me crazy is they just don't come on out and have rules. You know, one of the things I hate about the system is they just won't be honest. You know, the utter dishonesty of it. And say, I have accepted and I have said that free speech is a lie. You know, people rabble on about free speech. That's being in denial, too. Free speech was a trick. They tricked us with the free speech thing. We don't want to accept that, so we still ramble on about my free speech. It was a trick, okay? They never meant it. That was for them. Now that they have enough power, yeah, that's gone now. You know, it's not fair, you're not giving me the free speech. It was a trick. They lied to you, okay? You're conned. One of the things I hate, though, is this just utter dishonesty. The censorship is going to go off the charts. That's another thing they're moving towards, the censorship. They're going to bring in more and more draconian speech laws here in the U.S. My First Amendment rights. That's more denial. No. They're going to bring in more and more. They'll justify it, of course. All they got to do is have one of their judges say, oh, yeah, that's totally constitutional. It doesn't matter. Anyway, they're going to get in. We're going to get more and more draconian censorship. And you know what? I just wish they would be honest about it. You know, give us some. They do it in this pussyfooted manner. You know, you see it in the speech laws in Europe and in Britain. And increasingly here. They're vague. It is illegal. It is illegal and a violation of law to incite racial hatred. What the hell does that mean? Nobody knows. It means whatever they want it to mean. Just be honest. You know? I would rather, look, since free speech is a lie, I would rather they would just be honest. You know, like the U.S. should just, when they, as they continue advancing this censorship, they should come out and pass a law and say, you're not allowed to say anything critical of the Jews. Just make it the law. And then, you know what? Everybody, don't say anything then. Well, that's against the law. You would know. You can't talk about these people. It's against the law. Now, people might start questioning why that is, but at least you would, you know, if you got in trouble, if you went and you did your show or wrote your post or whatever, did your video criticizing the Jews and you get in trouble, you wouldn't be able to complain. You said, well, you knew it was against the law. It says right here in this law, you're not allowed to say anything critical about the Jews. So you just don't do it. You can argue about why that should be. That's not the point. Hell, be specific. You're not allowed to complain about government immigration policy, period. There, it's against the law. Okay. Well, at least you know that if you go ahead and speak out anyway, you're going to get in trouble. You know, you can make that decision to cross that line, whether or not you're going to do that. You just go down the list. If a man says he's a woman, it's against the law to call him a him or whatever. But they don't do that. It's always this vague. They keep it vague because they don't want to do that. Because then people are going to say, well, how come? How come we're not allowed to do that? Specifically, why? See, I would rather they were specific. Just make a law. Then it's easy to stay within the bounds of the law. We just won't talk about that. Or if you do decide to talk about it, you do so with the understanding there's going to be legal repercussions. Instead, they hang people out. On the one hand, they tell everybody, oh, you got freedom of speech. Then they turn around and say, oh, well, actually, that was hate speech. And you were, we have determined, we've read the tea leaves, we've consulted the mystical orb, and we went to a tarot card reader who flipped some cards over, and we've determined that you had hatred in your heart when you said that, and you were trying to make other people feel an emotion of hatred as well. It's this weird, vague, you know, trying to pretend like you know what's going on in people's heads or something. Just be honest, just be specific. You're not allowed to talk about this, or say any of these things. And then people can either choose to stay within those confines or not. Instead, they say you got freedom of speech. But then they do this whole thing, you don't have freedom from consequences. But what does that mean? You know, I mean, yeah, if you're going to define things that way, you have the freedom to rob a bank. You got the freedom to do that, but you also, you know, don't have freedom that you're going to get put in prison for robbing a bank. You see, there's no difference. You know, they try to pretend like that's somehow different than making it illegal. You still have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of consequence. Well, like I say, viewed in that way, you have freedom to rob a bank. You don't have freedom of consequence to keep from being sent to prison for doing so. but somehow it's different with speech. You have freedom of speech, you just don't have freedom of consequence. Well, then it's illegal. Just tell people what's allowed. If you're not allowed to criticize this group of people, make that the law and tell them you're not allowed. Anything else outside of that, you can talk about what you want to, and then everybody can talk about what they want to. But they don't. Why is that? Why don't they just do it? Why do we have to have this charade where we pretend, oh, you have freedom of speech? But there's this ill-defined vague area here, and if you wander into it, we're not going to tell you what that area is, but if you inadvertently wander into it, then we're going to come down on you like a hammer. You're left trying to guess what they may or may not do. It's all absurd. And it's going to get worse. The point I'm making, expect that to get worse because of the declining, ridiculous political climate and as things escalate with, they're kicking so many anthills. They've got the Russia thing. They've got Israel doing everything they can to drag the U.S. into a war with Iran. Now, for some reason, now they're apparently... They're sending special forces to Taiwan, escalating with the Chinese. They're kicking enough anthills over. At some point, and I said this on the Texas Hold'em topic here recently, you know, at some point, the turning point, somebody's going to raise. You know, they keep raising, the U.S. is bluffing. The U.S. is bluffing. They keep raising the bet and they can't back out. And these other players keep calling. But at some point, one of the other players is going to raise the bet. And then things are going to get spicy. Things are going to get interesting. They're kicking over all these anthills. They're poking all these wasps nests. At some point, they're going to get stung. And then they're going to act all shocked. They're going to act all shocked. What do you mean? We never knew you would do that. We're supposed to be able to act with impunity and do whatever the hell we want to. These people are not smart. I don't know why everybody acts like they're so smart. They're not. Look at them. Do they look smart? No, they do not look smart. As these things kick off, they're going to have to really clamp down. They are. The internet allows you to get to certain amounts of information that they don't want you to have. Now, they drowned most of that out with white noise and gibberish, but it's still there if you know how to look for it. And repeating these things is going to become more and more, there's going to be more and more consequences for your freedom of speech, shall we say. The censorship is going to get worse, going to have to get worse. When one of these conflicts really blows up, and the U.S. is going to inevitably be getting their asses kicked, they're going to have to lie to you. And they're not going to tolerate people pointing out the truth. When they tell you, well, only 5 of our soldiers have died, and we've killed 6 million of their guys, and you come out and you do your show and say, well, I found these other numbers that show that the U.S. is getting their shit pushed in and is having to retreat on all fronts. They're going to say, you're just another Tokyo Rose. You're just undermining our troops. You're aiding and abetting. You're helping the enemy. Off to jail you go. You can sit there and talk about your First Amendment, your freedom of speech, without your freedom of consequences. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you've had a chance to check out all our content here on Radio Havana. I didn't do a Daily Nationalist on Monday. I had things going on. That happens sometimes. You know, you're just going to expect it. And you check it in. But the Parish of the Patriots, you can count on that. Like, if the Parish of the Patriots doesn't show up, start reading the obituaries. That'll be there. Daily Nationalist, sometimes that's going to happen. But anyway, had the Parish of the Patriots Tuesday. Hope you checked it out. Dr. Johnson's Orthodox Nationalist Wednesday. Had a great show up yesterday. You want to check that out. Always want to check that out. Again, I hope you have a great weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.